Are we going? Yes, we are. You're set?
I'm going to make sure it's set so that it locks. I've got it on, but if I push the button and it's not locked, it'll go off. Yep, sure enough.
Well, does it have a voice sensing in it? Or?
Well, no, it's audio, but if you push a button while it's recording, it'll stop it. So what you do is you lock it.
Oh,
so no matter
okay.
What you do to touch it now, it won't go off. That's what I have to do. I'm glad I checked that because...
All right, it is now the time for apology and confession. And the apology is for the dubious quality of these talks. The theoretical part has been okay. Nothing special, but okay. It's important that we do have some kind of an understanding for how things are. We're responsible for what we teach and what we use, and we don't want to be misleading. So it's important that we're able to demonstrate why we use the principle of activation as we do in astrology and not be able to demonstrate as those, you know, there's no explanation that other people have. It's very important anyway that we immerse ourselves in cosmography and cosmology. It's important that we do that because that's our evolutionary environment. Just as much as our physical environment, we have a spiritual environment, and we have to understand that. It's in the other part that the main part of the apology is found, and that is in the sample horoscopes. It can be okay to look at many horoscopes very briefly, but... More should have been done to focus on activation. I spent so much time and I still didn't find what I want. I should have probably looked more at horoscopes of accomplished spiritual people, because those are people where the octave characteristics come out the best. As it is, we have to deal with ordinary humans, and they respond mostly to the lower side. So hopefully, some of you will take the attitude of seeing how shoddy this is and say, I'll show them how it should be done and carry out what isn't in these talks. Now, the confession is about something else. I have to confess that I am not certain that Pluto is the octave of Mars. I'm almost certain, but not completely so. Some things give evidence one way, and some things give evidence another way. Let's look at the former first, that Pluto is the octave of Mars. We have duly noted that activation requires that a planet and its octave share a quality in common. That is, that they, like a middle C and a high C and a low C, all have the quality of C in them. Now, it is obvious with Mars and Pluto that both are about getting things done. They're both about something to do with the force that gets things done. Mars is an active doer. And action implies force, and it even identifies with it. Mars is an expression of kinetic energy, which means that it's energy in motion. And it is applied. And if the energy is blocked, that is, if we don't get our own way, it explodes in anger and in all directions. Mars isn't really too discriminating about directions as long as it's forward. Pluto is about power. the influence that determines the intensity of energy. Now, in physics, Pluto is the quality of Pluto is called potential. Pluto rules Scorpio, and in Scorpio we find an excellent example. Scorpio is fixed water, and fixed water could mean any of several things. For one, it could mean ice, because, well, I guess glaciers do flow a little bit, but that's really fixed water. Or it could mean something like swamp water. Swamp water doesn't move. There isn't even ripples on it from the wind as there is in a lake. But the example that is best is the water in a reservoir. That is the water that is behind the dam. And that is that gives us the whole business. The higher the dam is, and the more water there is behind the dam, the greater the potential, that is, the greater the intensity of the energy when it comes through the turbines at the bottom of the dam. It can be just like the stream was all along, so many gallons per minute going downstream, but if there is that big backwater behind the dam, when that same water comes through those tubes that feed the turbines, it comes through with a great deal more of pressure. And so even though the water standing behind the dam doesn't do anything, it's still, it's fixed, it puts pressure on the water that does go through. And Scorpio or Pluto is a planet of pressure. So we can see that there is this kind of relationship between Pluto and Mars, the relationship between potential and kinetics. Now, let's look at some of the more trying aspects of polar or potential activation. Now, we've said that Neptune, in its higher manifestation, represents the human spirit, and that the transcendent or the higher Uranus represents the life spirit, the mystical side of things, where Neptune is the occult side. Using this kind of analogical ideation, we would say that the transcendent or the higher side of Pluto would rule the highest attribute of the threefold spirit, which is the divine spirit. Now, even with a very superficial consideration, this is pretty obvious. The character of the divine spirit is will. The will to be, the will to exist. And Pluto surely defines will. It is the planet for manifest will. Unmanifest or hidden will is found nowhere in the horoscope. So the personification of the divine spirit, the Father, is described as ever invisible. And Hades, which is the Greek name for Pluto, wore the helmet of invisibility and couldn't be seen. And when he was at home, he was lurking in the invisible dark underworld. Now, if you take the lower side of Pluto, it deals with the unwill, that is the stubbornness and the fixity that you find in compulsions or obsession or things of that nature. So it resists change. Rather than willing change, it resists change. So that the two higher and lower manifestations of Pluto sort of counter each other. Now, the power of will, when it's inverted, becomes sexual energy. Very important. But also very powerful, and I don't know how you'd say it, puts itself into its activity. Hades raped Persephone. He was rapacious and he was brutal. All right. Now the doubts about the problems of the relationship of Pluto and Uranus arise with the reflective projection. Now, in an earlier talk, we mentioned that the higher manifestation of Uranus was in the life spirit, which David here would know as the buddhic plane, and that its lower octave in another planet is Venus. And Venus is individual love or personified love, while Uranus, either in the higher manifestation or the lower manifestation, is altruistic. It becomes the masculine material planet of technology. We talked yesterday about when things, and looking at the diagram on the board, when things pass through the lens in the center of the mind, they become inverted. So the life spirit is the feminine, the imaginative principle that is impressed upon by the divine spirit, and the offspring is the human spirit. So the life spirit is feminine. But when it becomes inverted by passing through the lens, it becomes a masculine technical planet. This is why the activation works as it does, and why some people are fooled into thinking that Uranus must be associated with Mercury, because they don't understand reflective projection or activation. There's two different creative activities going on. Similarly, when Neptune is reflectively projected, it is reflectively projected into the lower part of the mind and the higher part of the desire body. And that is ruled, especially the lower part of the mind, is ruled by Mercury. So we can see that there is an octave relationship there. But where Neptune, on the other side of the lens, the transcendental side of the lens, is the magician, is somebody that is powerful in composition or in doing magical works or things like that, when it gets inverted, it becomes very passive, and you have the medium or you have the neurotic that alibis and has all of these long reasons why he couldn't do what was necessary to be done and things like that. Now, if we think about Pluto in that way, Pluto becomes the original creative power that issues from the deeper creator. Remember the designations for the three powers of the spirit in one way are willing, feeling, and thinking. But on the other, another way of looking at it, they are creation, emanation, and fabrication. And the creation part comes from the divine spirit. When that becomes inverted into the lower Pluto, the all creativity becomes either asexuality or all sexuality. It's not creativity, it is sexuality. Now, so we can see that Pluto represents power. It's like a storage battery. The light that issues from that power is like the life spirit. And when that light, life spirit light gets broken down, it becomes abstract colors. And those colors of the human spirit, the individual colorful individuals, when that gets reflectively projected into the desire world, it becomes the color of desires. And similarly, the spiritual life, the purposeful life of spirit, when it gets reflectively projected, it gets focused into the ethers. And that is the life in nature that can never be defeated, no matter what conditions. A few days, they're going to shut that off. My voice is tired enough that I don't want to compete with the... It becomes the vital life that is in nature, so that even a few days after a volcanic eruption, new life is coming out. And when we look at the power of Pluto in the transcendent sense, that is of the divine will, when that is reflectively projected into the chemical region of the physical world, you have all of the resistance. Like when you wake up in the morning or late at night when you're tired, you recognize the resistance of the body. It's so almost like you're dragging your body along rather than your body being suspended in your own energy. So we can see in that way, we get an explanation of the way the octaves work. And we can see these things carry on very well. But we want to look a little bit more, as you know, these are problems that have been thought about for centuries. Every society has talked about unity and trinity. Very near to where Sharad was born, near Bombay, or in fact in Bombay, there is the famous Trimurti. It's a great big head statue, and it's a three-faced head, and the three faces on the head represent the three attributes of the one spirit. Now, Pluto is the demanding will, but when that gets reflectively projected into the personality, it becomes like an instinctual drive. And one of the chief instinctual drives is the drive to procreation, the continuance of the species. All of the very best materials are put into reproduction. Now, it's interesting that the sexual drive is not a matter of love. Now, if you look in the animal kingdom, there are animals that are affectionate with each other. And it's lovely to see that. But they are not affectionate with each other when they are mating. When they are mating, they are under that drive. They are under the heat. And it is something just has to be done. And so that's why it's a really important thing to realize that there's a tremendous difference between love and sex. If you have sex all alone, it becomes an act of power. Rape is an act of power. There's no love in that at all. In fact, the whole dealing with sex is a difficult thing because there's always power involved in it. You know, that if you can produce very strong reactions in your partner, that's a feeling of power. And sometimes the feeling of power becomes more important than a kind of love that you're trying to communicate with the other person, even though the intensity is there for the communication, but sex is not a very good way of communicating. So, all right, so we can see that there is some relationship between Pluto and Mars as a result of projection. All right. Now, When we mentioned yesterday, talking about reflective projection, we said that that lens of the mind, which up there is driven, which is drawn like an eye, it's both a reflector and a projector, and sometimes both simultaneously. We said that that was like a multiple focus lens, that it could focus in different ways at different times. And the way that the diagram is now is the way that it is in the cosmos now. It's certain that at other times in the cosmos, the focus is going to be different. As the cosmos is dissolved in future states and worlds disappear and are absorbed into other worlds, that is accomplished by changing the focus of the mind and internalizing into the spirit things that used to be external, and that's done by a very variable focus lens. All right. So, the divine spirit, the life spirit, represent power and light and color. With the divine spirit, it's a matter of invisible power. And in inversion, it becomes inert resistance. And this is where the problem enters in. Now, these are all teachings of the mysteries, and the mysteries are pretty much in agreement with them. The human spirit is reflected into the lower mind and the desire body. The life spirit is reflected into the vital body, and the divine spirit is reflected into the physical. Now we can see that there's something like the color of abstract color versus living color in the desire world, and there is something like purposeful spiritual life being associated with vital life in the lower, and we can see that there is something like power being reflectively projected into resistance. But if Mars is the lower octave of Pluto, it would have to have something to do with the chemical region of the physical world, which it does not. And that's why I can't say that I'm absolutely sure that Mars is the octave of Pluto. So we have to either say that that Mars is not the octave of Pluto, or there must be something else involved beside reflective projection. Because we can see that reflective projection is there, but what it means is something different. Now, I think what is happening is that something else is going on, and not merely reflective projection. And that something else which is going on is what we began talking about in the first place: resonance and activation. If we go to a piano and we pluck a string, the string will vibrate, and so will some other strings, harmonics and such. Octave strings will surely vibrate. Now, in the earlier talk, we said that the cosmic planes and the worlds and the subdivisions were all undertones of one cosmic word. And that within the worlds that comprise our solar creation, that within that there was reflective projection between the worlds that are concrete and those that are transcendental or abstract. So we can see that there are two different kinds of activity involved in the evolutionary creation. One, as we have just seen, is harmonic resonance, and the other is reflective projection. Both are active. When we look at this business, using this ugly diagram on the board, we can put it together. If we say that there is a resonance between the phenomenal worlds, the concrete worlds, and the ideational worlds, it then makes sense. Meaning to say, if we look at the physical world, especially the chemical region of the physical world, we find all of this differentiation into details that have many scientists working around the clock, understanding all of the details of the material manifestation. And that resonates to the lowest of the transcendental things, the region of ideational thought, where all of the truths are separated out of the one truth of the life spirit. Similarly, there is a resonance between the vital life and the spiritual life. And if we follow this, there then must be a resonance between the desire nature and the divine spirit. And bingo, that's where we find Mars being an octave of Pluto. It's very hard for most people to even differentiate between will and desire. Most people feel that when they're asserting their will, they're knitting their brow and they're clenching their teeth. And that's not will. Will is so subtle that there's hardly any change in appearance. That's desire. And we build our will in the struggle with desire. We're told in the Rosicrucian philosophy that we're supposed to build moral muscle, and that comes primarily in the struggle with desire. So from this,